other. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but I'm very, very challenged by Pastor Dave's sermon last week, right? That was a good, good challenge. I feel particularly challenged because he pointed right at me. So I hope that he included all of us, though, just as a reminder. And I look at that challenge, and as we look at the new challenges that God's going to bring to us, and as we look at new visions and new things that we're going to do, I think, what a perfect timing. There's no better topic to start on than that of love. Because no matter what we do in the church, no matter what events that we have, whatever it is that we do, all of that needs to be done in love. So what a great, great place to start as we begin this new journey together. I just want to recap. I know it's been a couple weeks since we were looking at 1 Peter, so I want to recap what we've covered to this point. Peter began his letter speaking of the wonderful salvation that we have, the redemptive plan that began before the foundations of the world and is now experienced in us and his readers who live in this privileged time. After that, in verse 13, he switches to the ethical implications of this salvation. So he begins in 13 by talking about the ethical implications. These are summed up in the four commands that follow. The first command was set your mind on the grace that is to come. The second command is to be holy as God is holy, and that is seen in reverential living. Remember, we talked about those things. So those are more individual for us, right? Now he switches to those implications in the context of community, the church. And the first command that we see here is to fervently love one another. That's what he's saying. Fervently love one another. Christianity is not lived in isolation. You and I belong to a new family. We did not get to choose this family, though at times we may want to. And we will see here that this love that we are to have is not like that of the world's and is the very essence of our new nature. Just what Emily is saying about being born again. This new love is the very essence of our new nature, and it is nothing like the love that the world has. What Peter is telling us here is that our new birth into our new family requires a new love. That's what he's saying. And he's saying that this makes sense. This is very logical, a very logical conclusion. Many moons ago, long time ago, I'm surprised I even remember it was so long ago, but I remember, and I know Sarah remembers, when I was young and foolish, I tried to explain to Sarah why it was logical for me to love her. Yes, yeah. I wish you could see all the faces on the women right now. It's not like a nice poem, right? I'm going to write you a poem. It's called The Logic of Love. So, I can't remember my reasoning, but does that really matter at this point? But I do remember that Sarah was not impressed with my logic that day and probably thought that the logical reaction would have been to throw a pie in my face if one had been available. So here I'm to tell you gentlemen that please don't ever use those two words together. No, that's not very romantic, logic and love. However, I'm in good company here because that is exactly what Peter is saying. And he's not saying it to his wife, but he's saying it to us. It is a very reasonable and logical response that you and I are to love one another. Why? Because we have been born into a new family and we have been born again. And I see two reasons that he gives us here, why it is logical that we love one another. The first reason is we have been born out of our old world. We've been born out of our old world. Verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. In the animated movie Ice Age, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. It's a great, great movie. I love that little rat, squirrel guy, whatever his name is. Anyway, in that movie, a bunch of saber-toothed tigers attack a tribe of nomads. A mother and her baby attempt to outrun these man-eating beasts, but are cornered at a raging waterfall. With no other option available, the mother jumps, securely cradling her child. But when she does, she is mortally injured in the fall, but survives long enough to deposit this newborn on the riverbank. The little boy is then discovered by a woolly mammoth named Manfred, a sloth named Sid, and a saber-toothed tiger named Diego. These three unlikely companions unite on a common mission to then return this child. And as they're going through this terrain of mountains and snow, of snow and ice, they're carrying the baby, and they realize that they're on a volcano. This volcano begins to erupt, and the heat of the lava melts the glacier bridges atop the ice field, separating Diego from the others. Isolated on a quickly melting island of ice, Diego jumps to reach the others, but he falls short. Manfred, unwilling to let Diego perish, leaps into the chasm after him and tosses this tiger upwards to safety. Diego, realizing the danger involved in the rescue, is moved by his compassion and sacrifice. And he says, "Why did you do that? You could have died trying to save me." Humbly, the mammoth responds, "That is what you do when you are part of a herd. You look after one another." And then Sid muses aloud, "I don't know about you guys, but we are one strange herd." Just like these bunch of misfits, you and I are in a new herd, right? And yes, it is a strange herd, but it is a herd nonetheless. We have been removed from our old world and placed into this new family. That is the point that Peter is trying to make here. That is what he is saying in this word purified. This word purified has two senses behind it. Yes, it means a cleansing, but it is also that of consecration, holiness, and separateness. So he's saying that you have been set apart. You've been set apart unto God, but you have been set apart unto this new family. And how is this new family to live? Just like the mammoth did. Love and sacrifice. Love and sacrifice. Why? Because we have died to that old way of living. We have been purified. We have been consecrated, removed, separated from this old world that we used to live in. And we're no longer part of that. We are part of this new family. And that's what Peter wants us to see here. You see, when sin entered the world, two relationships were broken. First, the relationship with God, and then man's relationship with man. What was the first thing that what happened when Adam sinned? What did he do? Right? He gets confronted by God. And this is what he does. What does he do? God says, "What are you doing? This and that." And what does Adam do? He grabs Eve, the only person on earth, and he tosses her under the bus. And he says, "She did it." The first thing that we see because of sin was man's broken relationship with his wife. He's like, "I don't care who you are." There you go. You're gone. Not my fault. And he indirectly blames God in the process. He says, "The woman you put here with me." That's crazy. And then what do we see just a few chapters later? Cain and Abel, murder. within the family.
So God redeemed us unto himself in Christ and reconciled that relationship. But what else did he do? He reconciled us to each other. That is the point. That is what it says here. You have been set apart for what? There's a purpose, right? Yes, for God, but for a sincere love of the brethren. That is the reason that we have been set apart, so that I can love you better. We've been moved out of this world and into this new family. We have been set apart for God and placed into his family, the church. It is only reasonable that we should love each other. Right? That's what he's saying. That's why. It is also because of this purification that you and I can continue to grow in this love. This word purified is in the present tense. It means a completed action with ongoing results. We are constantly in this state of separation and cleansing, and therefore constantly able to love one another. Isn't that great? It is for this very purpose that we have been set apart. God wanted to restore us to himself, but he wanted to restore us to each other. This is the intention. And since we are separated from our old world, we no longer love the way in which the world loves. This love is a new love because it is the result of God pouring out his love into our hearts, enabling us to love each other through the Spirit in new and radical ways. You and I can love the way we have never been able to love before. Why? Because we have been born again in him. So how are we doing? How are we doing in this area as a church? We should always be asking ourselves this question. How am I loving those in my family? It's funny, Sarah and Adea came home last night and they were having a conversation. I know I'm talking all about Sarah and Adea and their stories. I hope they don't mind. I'll hear it later maybe. But they came home last night and they were talking about all the time that we spend with our church family now. And they were saying how much it eats up the majority of our pie, right? And I thought, and then Adea says, yeah, you know, we spend so much time with them. We do all these things together. And she goes, it's like they're our family. And I said, that's it. That's it. That's what happens. You and I, because of our obedience to the truth, we chose to obey the truth, and because of that obedience, we have been deposited into a new family. This is our family. This is part of God's purpose for our lives. And we have to spend time with our family. This adds to the context of this, what Peter is saying here. These people who he's writing to have been ostracized from their family, friends, and society at large. Who do you think they're spending most of their time with? Each other, right? Is it easy to love each other if we're just coming to church for an hour and a half on Sunday? Yes. Is it hard to love each other if we're spending 20, I mean, we don't have to spend that much time together, but if we're working together, if we're fellowshipping together, if we're out in the community together, does it get harder to love each other? Yes. That's why he's writing this. I know, I'm so thankful for the outreach group and all the people who have helped with all those events. However, I know those people had to love me. I know it. I know working with me isn't easy. I can make jokes when they're not appropriate. I can be a taskmaster. I'm loud. I'm obnoxious at times. That's okay. I add to the strangeness of this herd just as much as the next guy. And I know they had, that's a great pitch, right? If you want to grow in love, come work with our pastor. But I understand that. And I appreciate what they had to go through in working with me. But that is the point. We are only going to grow in this love if we are in community together. Closeness requires love. That's what Peter's saying here. We've been moved out of this world and placed into this new family. It's not just for an hour and a half on Sundays. It's being together, loving each other in everything that we do. And it is this love that when people see it, it is a witness to the truth that we proclaim. I heard it at Comfort and Joy from someone. They said, I don't know what it took to get there, but he said, you saw how much you guys enjoyed and loved one another. That's what a person saw who saw that concert. And we know that it does take a lot to get there. Takes a lot of what? Love for each other. Patience and kindness. He gives us three descriptions of what this love looks like. I want us to be out in the community. I want people to see our love so much that they're just sick over it. But that is exactly what we are to do as a church. Love each other. They'll know you are my disciples by your love for one another. That's gospel witness right there, how we love one another. He gives three descriptions of what this love is to look like. He begins by saying it's sincere. This is the fraternal affection without hypocrisy. It means without pretense. It's genuine. There's no disguises in this love. It is free from deceit. You and I aren't to be playing the part of loving one another. This love that we are to have is to be sincere, genuine, without pretense or sham. We can love this way because God has poured his love into our hearts, purifying our hearts. It is a supernatural love, and we can extend this love to each other. Manufactured love is cheap and artificial, and people can see right through it. So he says that's the nature of this love, and then he turns to the intensity of this love. I know, it just gets worse. You're like, stop, please. It's enough that we have to love, but we got to love each other sincerely, and there's more. And you have to love each other how? Fervently. Fervently. It means it's the complete opposite of slothfulness, right? It's an intense straining, someone that is stretching out, unceasing activity. Someone used the picture of the tension and energy of a stringed instrument, as when a string of a violin has been stretched out to a tighter pitch that it might yield a higher note. That's fervent. That's the love that you and I are supposed to have for one another. A love that is stretching out. A love that is straining. Many of us work our muscles and our love remains flabby. We need to strain in this love. The word means that the believer is to carry out this love and to do it now and to do it effectively. The active voice in this word indicates that each believer must decide in his or her own mind to carry out this love. It is a decision of the will. It's not a feeling or an emotion. It is a choice. You are to do it, and he says you are to do it now. There is a sense of urgency in it. And the origin of this love is from the heart. Not from the old heart, the old man, but the new heart that God has poured his love into. The supernatural heart of those who have been regenerated in Jesus Christ. God has restored us to himself and has restored us to others. And now we can truly love one another from the heart. From the heart means that we see the value of each other as God sees them. From the heart means that we treat each other as precious. How are we viewing our brothers and sisters around us today? Do we view them as precious, as valuable? Are we loving them from the heart? This is a command, and this is to be an action. This is not theoretical. It's not theoretical. We are to do this and act on this. We should be asking ourselves, how have we loved those in the church this week? And this isn't some type of extravagant love, but this is a love that we must do because we have been what? Born again of God, just like it says in 1 John. If you've been born again of God and you say you love God but don't love your brother, you are a liar. That's the type of love that we need. If we love God, we're going to love our brother. And this love is to be an action. We are to act on it. It doesn't have to be extravagant. It's not some fluffy type of love. It's as simple as picking up the phone and calling someone. That's how we can do it. Call someone. It's as simple as sending a card to a hurting brother or sister in your church, in the church. Someone texted me this past week. I was preparing this sermon, and they texted me, and they said, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. That spoke volumes to me. Just a 3-second text. That is how we are to be loving one another. It's as simple as complimenting someone on a new outfit, asking them how they're doing, asking them if they need help, reaching out. Straining means that you and I are always looking for opportunities to love one another, seeking out those opportunities, looking for avenues. Look around. You know how many people are hurting in this church today? It's plenty. Look for opportunities to love. And I'm going to give you one. We have an opportunity to love. Have an opportunity to love a sister in our church, Anne, and her family. As many of you know, Anne lost her nephew, Seth, a few months ago. Seth left behind Erica, Eden, and Joy, who are pictured here. Erica is the wife, Eden is the 1-year-old daughter, and Joy is the newborn. We have an opportunity to love. We have an opportunity to show what it means to love as a Christian family. Ann and Bobby are going to do a virtual baby shower, right? We're going to get together and we're going to pour out gifts of love on Erica and Joy. Not just for Joy, but for Erica. So I urge you, if you're looking for an opportunity, here it is, right now. I want Erica to see how a Christian family loves. And I want her to see it and feel it so much that she wants to be part of this new herd. Love is action. It is not something that remains up here. We are to love and we are to do it now. And where was this love best exemplified? The love that Peter talks about here, the first love that he mentions is brotherly love, but then the fervent love that he mentions is agape love. It's the love that we have seen that Jesus Christ displayed on the cross. He who literally stretched himself out for you and me. That is the love that you and I are to have for one another. A love that sacrifices, cares, forgives, a love that does not always say what's on its mind, a love that seeks to remain at peace with others, a love that seeks to listen and understand others, a love that does not look at the bad but the good in others, a love that is quick to forgive, seeks to build up, seeks to encourage, correct, and admonish, a love that is sincere, fervent, and from the heart, a love that we saw on the cross of Christ. love one another, and love each other fervently, sincerely, and from the heart. We no longer love the way the world loves. We have been removed from that world and placed in this family. Therefore, love each other. So what he's saying. Second reason, we have been born into a new nature. Verses 23 through 25. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Justin Wren, an all-American wrestler in college, easily moved into the world of mixed martial arts. But as his success and popularity skyrocketed, so did his addictions to cocaine, alcohol, and narcotics. His life hit rock bottom when he was kicked out of one of the world's best fighting teams for drug use. Wren says this, "My childhood dream had turned into a living nightmare, but when everyone else had written me off as beyond redemption, one friend, Jeff, refused to walk away. He called me several times a day, inviting me to a Christian men's retreat. And he says that he was expecting a bunch of kumbaya moments around the campfire. But the men were raw and real about their struggles," he says. And what happened? He opened his life up to Christ. He received Christ as his Lord and Savior. Soon after that, he realized that he wanted more than MMA fame. He started volunteering at local ministries in prison, but he felt God tugging on his heart to do so much more. He wanted to reach those who were outcast in the world. He mentioned this to his mentor, Caleb, and Caleb directed him to this pygmy tribe in the Congo. So Wren packs up and goes and visits this tribe and then says, "I want to stay longer." So he lives with them. He eats what they ate, he slept where they slept, and he got sick with what they got sick with. He says he almost died one time with malaria. However, he says he was soon adopted into the pygmy tribe, and he was given a name that I'm not going to try to pronounce right now. But it means big pygmy, which makes sense because he's 6 foot and they were 4 foot. But they also gave him another name. Ifioso, if that's how you say it. And this name means the man who loves us. The man who loves us. He went back afterwards to MMA fighting. But he was no longer fighting for himself. He was fighting to raise money for them. Here this man who previously loved himself, took care of himself, fought for himself, is now converted in Christ and known as who? The man who loves us and a man who fights for others. That is what our new nature does, folks. We should all be known as people who love others. That is the point. That is what Peter is saying here. You have been born again, just like Emily sang. So therefore, we are to live according to that new nature. The reason for this is because love is the very essence of this new nature. This love is made possible by the spiritual energy that is given to us because of this new life. Because of this new seed. It is an imperishable seed. It is a living seed. It is an enduring seed. Therefore, the love that you and I can have is imperishable. It's enduring. It's living. It's constantly energized in our new nature. One commentator says this, Peter instructs that love between Christians involves a moral transformation following from the spiritual reality that those reborn from God's seed will have God's character. Peter's quoting from the Old Testament here, which to which his readers was the very word of God, and he's showing by his very use of it how it is living and active and sufficient for their lives today. This word endures forever and will accomplish the purpose which God has intended it. And what is the purpose? So that we love. Reasoning from the last verse backwards, right? He says, this is the word that was preached to you. This word is not like man's word. Everything from man is perishable and does not last. This word is the word of God. And God's word endures forever. It is living, and therefore so is the love within you. Living and enduring, not from man. He is contrasting the old nature with our new nature. The old nature does not contain the power or the ability for such love. That which is born of the flesh dies, right? Our old nature, the man, that which is born of man is like grass. It withers and it dies. It is temporary. It does not have the ability to create life. What does Jesus say about the flesh? The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Once again, connecting God's word with spirit and life. And Peter is going to expand on this concept in the next chapter. About how are we to continue in this love? Right here, folks. God's word. Spirit and life. It is the word that has initially produced this new nature within you and me. It is this new nature that is imperishable. It is in this new nature that it is constantly generating this new life. This new life for what? Love. We have the ability. This love is possible because it is the very essence of that new nature. God is love, and we've been born of God's seed. Therefore, we should what? Love. Listen to what the Bible says about our new nature. It is created in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth, being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We're being renewed into God's image. God's character is love. We are a temple. Our new nature is a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in. There's the constant energy that we have for this love. We have no excuse not to love. Our new nature is being renewed day by day. You and I can never sing that song, awesome song by Chicago, I'm all out of love, right? That song, little high note. I love high voice songs, Chicago. Come on, all right. We can never sing that song. We can never be all out of love. It's impossible. Why? Air supply. You're right. Thank you. Some high voice. Do you want to sing it? Come on. You're itching. Are you sure? Air supply. Right. I'm all out of love. That's it. But we can't say that. Why? Because our new nature is being renewed day by day. Every day we wake up, we have just as much capacity to love as the day before. You can't run out. We can't sing that song. That's his point. This life-giving seed that you have been born by gives you life every day. To love one another. Every day, we have the capacity to love. We have the energy to love. And as Peter says later, that our new nature in it, we have everything pertaining to life and godliness. We have it all. We have no excuse. It's like, you ever been to Build-A-Bear? I used to go to Build-A-Bear with my daughter. She doesn't go anymore because she's 13. She's going to put that out there. She does not go to Build-A-Bear. We have not been to Build-A-Bear for quite some time. You ever go to Build-A-Bear, though? It's fun. You go there and you pick out the skin, right? And then you get all the fluff. And there's this big, really loud machine. And it just fills this bear full of fluff. And then what do they do at the end? They give you a little heart. And they make you make some weird wish with the heart. And we just don't really say anything. We're just like, yeah, whatever, okay. But you put that heart in and then they seal up that bear. That's exactly what has happened to you and me. We have been recreated. We have been filled with God's love, and he's given each one of us a new heart and our new nature. Therefore, love one another. We have a new heart. We have a new nature. Therefore, we are to live according to that nature, which its very essence is love. The seed that we have been born by is imperishable. It will last forever. Look around. Those people that are sitting next to you will last forever. These are the people that we are going to be spending eternity with. And we're going to love them for eternity, so we might as well practice now. And when we are in heaven, all of those fleshly views that we have of one another, they're going to be gone. You and I will truly see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. You and I will see each other that have been born of the same imperishable seed. We will no longer love them through fleshly eyes, but pure, complete, sinless. It is that vision that we will have then that we need to implement right here and now. Because it is what we do in love for one another that will remain. That's the flower that will last. Love. Like Paul says, he can do all of these things. We can do all these things. We can grow our church. We can have great programs. We can get people in. We can preach the gospel. But if we do it without love, we're nothing. We're nothing. This needs to be our priority and focus in the here and now, because it has eternal ramifications for us. We are not to look to ourselves for this kind of love, but we look to God for this love. We ask God to continue to pour this love into our hearts. And we have the hope of loving in the way that we should. Why? Because we've been born again. We have everything within us to love. Everything, the energy that we need to love as we ought to. In October 1871, Great Chicago Fire destroyed much of the bustling city of Chicago. But surprisingly, the flames actually started on the other side of the Chicago River. I never knew this. I don't know if you guys knew this. And the fire jumped. It jumped the river, partially because of the old ships that were in it, but mostly because that river was a putrid, literally called the Stinking River. Because what they would do is the Union Stockyards in Chicago dumped all of their animal waste into that river and made it combustible. I didn't know that. All of this putrefaction flowed into Lake Michigan, where there were drinking intakes for the city, and then diseases were constant throughout Chicago. Finally, the city engineers took action. They started digging 28 miles of canal. They moved more earth and rock then were moved building the Panama Canal. I never knew that either. They set in locks and gates. Then on January 2nd, 1900, a worker opened a sluice gate at Lake Michigan, and the entire Great Lakes flowed into the Chicago River, pushing it in a direction that it had never flowed before. They reversed the flow of the Chicago. It now flowed the opposite way into the canal, into the Des Plaines River, into the Illinois River, and into the Mississippi. This brought a huge flow of fresh water instead of shallow, sluggish, diseased water that made the community sick. The river now brought life to the city. That is exactly what has happened to you and me in our hearts. God has reversed the flow. And instead of that putrid water that used to be in our hearts, we now have the life-giving water of Christ. And because of that, we can give life and love to others. We can love one another because we have been born into a new nature. So how are we doing? How are we doing with family love? We've been born into an instant family. There's a Japanese business called Family Romance. They have actors for hire. These actors are ready and willing to be anything from your baby to your grandparents. In an increasingly isolated and entitled society, the CEO, Ishii Yuichi, predicts the exponential growth of his business and others like it as a la carte human interaction becomes the new norm. There doesn't seem to be any request that is too big for Yuichi's company. He says that he's played a dad to children who didn't know he's been hired. He's been a groom in faux weddings that the attendees didn't know were staged. His company, and this gets a little weird, his company even provided a baby for a pregnant woman who hadn't yet delivered, who was desperate to have her dying dad meet his grandchild. The ethical lines on that one are just... As outlandish as the idea might sound, it's ultimately believable that this trend could one day come to America. If Yuichi is right, the desire to rent loved ones comes from a longing for control combined with a vast laziness. Two sentiments alive and well in our current culture. Describing why women choose to hire him as a boyfriend, this is what he says. Women typically say that in a real relationship, it takes years to create a strong connection. For them, it's a lot of hassle and disappointment. It's just easier to schedule 2 hours per week to interact with an ideal boyfriend. There's no conflict, no jealousy, no bad habits. Everything is perfect. Folks, you and I have an instant family. But guess what? Everything is not perfect. There are bad habits. There is conflict, and there is sometimes jealousy. And it's not ideal all the time. But this is our family. And in order to operate in this new family, you and I need a lot of love. We can do this because we have been born out of our old world and our old ways. And we have been born into a new nature. So let's love one another. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for what you have done in our hearts. Thank you for the fact that because of what you have done, we can truly, truly love each other as you have intended. We praise you for this, and we ask for your help as we continue to strive to uphold this command. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.